All right, let's get into the word. And this lesson is called The Pastor and Teaching. And let's begin by turning to John chapter 3 and verse number 2. The Pastor and Teaching. We learned earlier in another chapter lesson that in Jeremiah 3 and verse 15, the original intent of God giving us pastors was what? That they may feed us with knowledge and understanding. That's what we're told in Jeremiah 3 and verse 15. That is the main calling and obligation of being a pastor, feeding people with knowledge and understanding. Now, there are basically two tools to use doing that. One is called preaching, and another is called teaching. Preaching is proclaiming the truth. Teaching is explaining the truth. For instance, if a pastor said these words, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," he is proclaiming the word of God. That is preaching. If he then took that subject and looked deeper into it, and say shared verses like Matthew 5 and verse 28, which says, "Whoso looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And he would further explain that it's not wrong to look, it's wrong to take the second look and then to lust. That is adultery. He has now explained what adultery is. That is teaching. If he goes further and brings out James chapter 4 and verse 4, which says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? He that is the friend of the world is the enemy of God," and that this is called spiritual adultery. He has now enhanced the proclamation, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," even further with his teaching. So we can stand up and say, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." That's preaching. And somebody sitting in the congregation will say, "Well, okay, I'm all set. I have been faithful to my wife. And so I have never broken that law." But teaching is needed to further enhance or explain the preaching, where the person says, "Oh, wait a minute, maybe I have broken the law that I should not commit adultery because I have perhaps looked with lust, or perhaps I have become worldly, and I am committing a spiritual fornication with the world when I am spiritually married to Christ," according to Romans 7, verse 4, and 2 Corinthians 11, and verse 2. So do you see what I have just done? I gave you an example of preaching, proclaiming, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," and then teaching, which is explaining what that means. Those are the two methods whereby the pastor fulfills his calling to feed people with knowledge and understanding. We must have both. Now, this lesson is not about the pastor and preaching. We'll cover that in another lesson. But this is about teaching. God wants us to be teachers. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, it says this, "And he gave some prophets and some evangelists," "and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Man, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine." And so I want you to notice, God gave teachers to the church. Something that the church used to do in America that really helped us in the early 1900s and in the mid-1900s is that they would follow revival meetings with Bible conferences. They would often have 2, 3, 4 week revival meetings and then have Bible conference teachers come into the same city to follow up with the converts, teaching them immediately the Word of God. That practice began to disappear in the 60s, and in the 70s was almost completely gone, and then all of the focus in independent fundamental Baptist churches became on preaching, to the point where preaching almost became idolatrous in our churches, where we held up preachers and preaching. And we neglected, back in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, teaching, and as a result, our churches, which were once the largest and the strongest in America, began to thin out, and many of the converts were carried about with every wind of doctrine, and some were lost to the cults, many to the charismatics, and others just to crazy doctrine. And it is because the church began to neglect teaching. Teaching is what will establish people in sound doctrine. Teaching is what will instruct people regards to beliefs and behavior. So let me make a few points about teaching for us as pastors to consider, and then we'll talk a little bit on what to teach. Number one, Jesus was a teacher. Jesus was a teacher. Notice a reputation here in John 3 and verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Look at the reputation that Jesus already had in the days of Nicodemus, when Nicodemus came to him by night and he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Jesus was a teacher. Now let me just spout off a lot of scriptures right now to back that up very quickly. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the kingdom. Notice the balance of our Lord's ministry. Matthew 5 and verse 2, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Matthew 7 verses 28 and 29, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 34, we read, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. See, to teach is to be Christ-like. Christ taught them many things. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter number 4, and verses 14 and 15, we're told, wrong chapter. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Luke 5:3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. John 7 and verse number 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went into the temple and taught. John 8, verse 2. And early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. That's a lot of scripture right there. It tells us that that is what Jesus did. It was what he was moved with compassion to do, was to teach them many things. Let me just give you one more. I thought this one was particularly powerful when you look at him and his response during his trial. In Matthew 26:55, Jesus said this, and I'm just going to quote part of the verse. As he was defending himself, he said, "I sat daily with you teaching in the temple." I sat daily with you teaching in the temple. Jesus had a daily teaching ministry. So I think that this is something that needs to be rediscovered. And I think we are starting to rediscover it among independent fundamental Baptists. That preaching is very important, and we need to preach, and we need to proclaim the Word of God, and we need to preach the gospel and get as many people saved in the short amount of time as we can. But once they are saved, we must remember that part of the great commission of our Lord is teaching all nations, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, told you. We've got to be teachers. We've got to be teachers. So number one, Jesus was a teacher. And then number two, Paul was a teacher. He is called our pattern. The Lord called him our pattern for those that should believe hereafter. And Paul was a teacher. In Acts chapter 11, yes, he was a preacher. He went in and held citywide campaigns, got a whole bunch of people saved, and then got them together in what's called a congregation or a church. But then he also believed in teaching the converts. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, it says, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass," now this is Barnabas and Saul, who would later be called Paul, "that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." And so there was a one-year Bible conference going on there in Antioch. And we saw the Apostle Paul was a part of that. That's a long time of teaching. And yet that helped to establish that into a great, great church. There are three names that are given to God's children, and they are given to us in a succession that we should attain. The first name given to one of God's children is a believer. That's the first thing. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, two times you'll find the word believer used in the New Testament. But the second word is the word disciple. And that means a student of a teacher. That's what disciples were, students of teachers, like Paul, who sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was his teacher. Jesus is our teacher, or the biblical word is master. And we are to sit at his feet. That's what a disciple did. A disciple sat at the feet of a master that he chose to be under and listened to everything he said, read everything he wrote, and then tried to exemplify his example. And this is what we should do with Jesus Christ. Now, the word disciple is found 270 times in the New Testament. And then after that, it says here, the disciples were called Christians. They were disciples first, then they were called Christians. The word Christian is the last word that is used to describe our progression as God's children. And I think a lot of times we misuse that word Christian, and it has become something much lighter, I think, than what it's really supposed to mean. And it's supposed to be one who has so studied Christ in his word that they have become like him. And that took a whole year of Bible study in the church at Antioch. Notice Acts 13, verse 1. "Now there were in the church, which was in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers." Preachers and teachers. What were their names? Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul, five of them. They had a ministry that was twofold, both prophets, that is preachers, and teachers. And it says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, then the Holy Ghost had separated me two of these preachers and teachers, Barnabas and Saul, for missionary work. And you can read the rest of that story. But notice that Paul was busy being a teacher. Barnabas was busy being a teacher in the church as well as a preacher. And then he was called to go and be a missionary. In Acts chapter number 15 and verse 35, it says, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Chapter 18, verse 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months teaching them the word of God among them. Oh, a year and a half. Sounded like Paul did a lot of teaching, didn't it? Sounded like Jesus did a lot of teaching. And I think that a lot of our independent Baptist churches have suffered in the past. I think we're beginning to recover from it now by discovering that we ought to do a whole lot more teaching than we're doing. And not just preaching. Preaching is important, but we need to teach and many things. And then finally about Paul, it says in Acts 28 and verse 31, it says, Paul preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And that's how the book of Acts ends, with Paul both preaching and teaching. So if you are going to be a pastor, you have to learn on how to be both a preacher and a teacher. If we are not careful, preaching can be very, very shallow, the proclamation of the truth. For instance, you can get up and preach every week. You ought to be soul winners. 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 That's good preaching. But many a frustrated people in the congregation sits there thinking, okay, that's what I ought to do. I don't know how to do it. I wouldn't know how to share a gospel plan with somebody if my life depended on it. That's where the preacher then needs to become a teacher and says, now here's how you do it. And gives them maybe a couple plans that they can memorize, some verses they can memorize, maybe some illustrations, and give them opportunities to win souls and so on. It takes some teaching. And then my third point is this, the pastor should be a teacher. Jesus was a teacher. Paul was a teacher. The pastor was a teacher. In the pastoral epistles, I'll just read a few verses out of these, but they are 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, if you did not know that. I'm sure you probably did. But in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, it says this, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine wherein thou hast attained. And now notice the definition of a good minister of Jesus Christ. Who is he? A person who has put the brethren in remembrance of these things. And then, of course, there's things previous to the text that he taught. In verse 13, it says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. The word doctrine is found 44 times in the New Testament. 16 of those times are in the pastoral epistles. And doctrine should be taught, not caught. Now, you can catch doctrine from preaching. But you... If the man's a good preacher, you can catch a lot of doctrine from preaching. But doctrine should be taught, not caught. I remember a missionary that came through our church. I forgot his name, but he grew up under the ministry of Harold Seitler. What a tremendous preacher he was. I've heard him preach, I think, three times in my life before he went to heaven. He was such a preacher that could just so vividly draw these pictures while he was preaching that just kept you in awe. You couldn't even look at your Bible. You were just staring at him and listening. And he was just a wonderful, wonderful preacher. And this missionary came through our church, and I was talking to him about Harold Sightline. I said, wow, what was it like to be under his ministry there and down in Greenville and so on and so forth? He said, well, Brother Cole, he said every Saturday night, he said, he would get us young men together. And he said, I need to speak to the young men tonight. And boy, we used to just get our hearts set on him coming and preaching some message and just lifting us into the heavenlies and so on. And he said he disappointed us so many times because on Saturday night he'd teach doctrine. And he'd go over doctrine with us. And it was just long and tedious hours of doctrine. But the missionary said to me, he said this, he says, now that I'm out of school and I'm on a deputation, I'm going to the mission field and I'm going to be a pastor myself and so on and so forth, he said, all the inspiration of those great, great sermons and preaching, that's all worn off. He says, but I remember the doctrine. He says, I've fallen back on that foundation many times when I had nothing else to fall back on. And he says, now, he says, I thank God Dr. Harold Seidler took time to teach us that long, boring, tedious doctrine on Saturday nights of what we believe and why we believe it. It says here in 1 Timothy 5 and verse number 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. We need to labor in the word of God and doctrine. So we've seen three things in this message. Number one, Jesus was a teacher. No one can deny that. Paul was a teacher. And the pastor is to be a teacher. He is to be a prophet and a teacher, perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry, that they no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. A pastor must be a teacher, so you that are in the ministry and you that are contemplating it need to work hard at becoming good preachers and good teachers, good communicators. Now then, with that in mind, let me conclude. What then should we teach? What then should we teach? I would encourage you as pastors to teach a lot of lessons that begin with these two words, how to. How to. How to be a soul winner. How to pray. How to study God's word. How to be a husband. How to fast. How to love your wife. How to be a wife to the ladies that are in your church. How to raise your children. How to handle your finances. How to rule your spirit. How to be a single person and successful. How to forgive. How to love. How to be patient. How to dress. How to be masculine for men. How to be feminine for women. How to get married without going through all the worldly dating stuff. And what is God's plan for finding a mate, and how to spank a child, and many subjects should be taught from the pulpit in the sense of how to. These may be taught during Sunday school hours or Wednesday night meetings, or maybe worked into sermons on Sunday morning or Sunday night. How to lessons. And then secondly, we ought to teach doctrine. Teach doctrine. Take every one of the major doctrines of the Bible and make sure your people understand it. It could be angelology, the doctrine of angels, anthropology, the doctrine of man, so he can understand the difference between his body, his spirit, and his soul. Bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible, and how we have come to embrace the King James Version of the Bible as God's Word in our country. Christology, the doctrine of Christ. Ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church. Eschatology, the doctrine of end times, events, and prophecy. Hamartiology, the doctrine of sin. Paterology, the doctrine of the Father. Pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Theology, about the Trinity and all the aspects of God. And the doctrine of baptisms, and the doctrine of heaven and hell, and separation, ecclesiastical separation, and why we're not part of the ecumenical movement, what the Bible says. You can teach on doctrine. You can teach on third of all books. Take any of the 66 books of the Bible and teach through them verse by verse, chapter by chapter. You can't go wrong there. That's teaching the Word of God. You can teach about characters, number four. The Bible's full of good characters and bad characters. Good men, bad men. Good women, bad women. Teach about those. Teach about the major characters of the Bible. Teach about the minor ones. Take your Bible and go from Aaron to Zephaniah and every other person in between, men and women. The Bible is a people book, and you're bound to find people that have gone through everything that we have, will go through, that they can relate to. Teach about behavior, number five. This is called sound doctrine in Titus chapter 2, when it teaches old men how they should behave, young men how they should behave, old women how they should behave, younger women how they should behave. It just goes on and on. You can teach about geography. Now, there's a lot of great geography in the Bible, some numerology. You got to be careful about that, but there's some wonderful truths that you can teach about, and you can teach about music, and you name it. You can teach the Bible for the rest of your life, and especially the commandments of the Lord we're supposed to be teaching so there can be obedience. And so we've seen tonight Jesus was a teacher. The Apostle Paul was a teacher. The pastor should be a teacher. And then we've tried to list just some things that you need to study out. Those of you that are preparing for the ministry, in the light of this, you ought to get yourself a notebook. And in that notebook, you ought to have a page with some subject at the top of the page, and then begin to put down what you know about that subject. And then the next page, another subject, and then another subject, and 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 just keep adding to it. Keep yourself a filing system. I know I'm old-fashioned because I don't know much about computers, but I have a filing system where I can just keep adding and adding and adding and adding to subjects I have previously studied with more information that I have gained, and they can be available to me at the touch of a finger. So I don't have to restudy every subject every time that I present it. Write. Put things down in writing for your people so that you can help them. I have a course, for instance, that I developed through my studies called Marriage 101. And I can't tell you how many times I've passed that out to couples that were having difficulty in their marriage where I said, take this home, listen to these tapes or CDs, and take this notebook we've prepared and write down your notes and so on and so forth. That saved me a lot of marriage counseling by being able to give them something that I had previously studied for them to study on their own. And then if they still have questions on top of that, I can deal with those rather than the entire subject of marriage every time someone has a problem. So be a teacher. Be a teacher. Do not think that you're any less of an independent Baptist if you're a teacher. God knows we need more of that. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this time. We pray now for thy Holy Spirit to be the one that really is the teacher and the preacher. And I pray for his help in the next service and that you would glorify your Son among us. I pray these men would be prepared for ministry, that these men might be called, some of them, Lord, only you know what our future holds. But as we go in that direction, Lord, we're trying to sharpen our swords. And I pray that men, some of these men, 3-4 years from now might be ready and might be prepared as much as they can. Help me Lord, with these lessons, to at least humanly do what I can do to prepare them for this great calling. In Jesus' name, amen.